Have you noticed how alcohol is the only drug we have to justify not taking? Say no to a drink at a party, and suddenly you're the one who needs an excuse. This peculiar cultural phenomenon sits at the heart of a quiet revolution happening right now, one that's seeing alcohol-free bars opening in major cities, millions participating in Dry January, and celebrities like Chrissy Teigen openly embracing sobriety. What's driving this shift isn't just wellness trends or hashtag movements. It's something more fundamental. People are waking up to a truth that's been hiding in plain sight. Alcohol doesn't actually deliver what it promises. Not the relaxation, not the confidence, not the happiness. And once you see this clearly, everything changes. Picture yourself on a Tuesday evening, exhausted from work. You promised yourself you'd have just one glass of wine. Three glasses later, you're wondering what happened to your willpower. Sound familiar? This isn't a character flaw. It's cognitive dissonance, and it's the real reason we drink more than we want to. Your conscious mind genuinely wants to cut back, but your subconscious holds firm beliefs. Alcohol helps you unwind, makes you funnier at parties, helps you sleep. These two parts of your mind are locked in combat, creating a painful cycle. The more you drink, the worse you feel. The worse you feel, the more you want to stop. The more conflict this creates, the more pain you experience. And what do we reach for when we're in pain? The very thing causing it. Here's what makes this cycle so insidious. We rarely examine where these beliefs actually come from. Remember your first sip of beer? It probably tasted like bitter disappointment. But you kept trying until you acquired the taste, which is just a polite way of saying your body stopped protesting against something it naturally recognizes as poison. This is like hospital workers who eventually stop noticing unpleasant smells. It's not that the smell improves, they've simply adapted to something inherently unpleasant. The solution lies in a deceptively simple technique: awareness, clarity, and turnaround. First, catch yourself believing alcohol helps me relax. Notice when this thought appears. Next, ask why you believe this. Is it from actual experience or decades of cultural messaging? Finally, flip it. Alcohol actually increases my stress. Then find evidence. Notice how your heart races after drinking, how you wake at 3 a.m. with anxiety, how yesterday's relaxing wine led to today's irritability. When both parts of your mind align on the truth, the battle ends. You're not resisting alcohol anymore. You simply don't want it. Why does one drink lead to five? When alcohol hits your bloodstream, it floods your pleasure center with GABA and endorphins. For 20 minutes, you feel fantastic. But your brain immediately releases dynorphin to suppress this artificial high, while dopamine keeps screaming, "More, more, more," even as satisfaction plummets. You're not weak. You're experiencing predictable neurochemistry. This explains why alcohol-fueled evenings that start with laughter often end in tears or fights. Alcohol has a biphasic effect, briefly stimulating as blood alcohol rises, then becoming a powerful depressant as it falls. The happiness we associate with drinking is misattributed. We drink at celebrations, creating a powerful association between alcohol and joy. But those events would be joyful anyway. We've just been conditioned to credit the alcohol. The industry spends over $6 billion annually reinforcing this connection through ads showing beautiful people experiencing only the upswing, never the crashes that follow. Regular drinking dulls your brain's response to natural rewards, making life progressively less enjoyable without alcohol. Not because drinking adds joy, but because it hijacks the pleasure system that should respond to genuine sources of happiness. Ever wonder why your resolve crumbles around 7 p.m.? Willpower is finite, like a muscle that exhausts. In one experiment, people forced to resist freshly baked cookies gave up 60% faster on puzzles than those who hadn't depleted their self-control. Every decision draws from the same energy pool. By evening, you're running on fumes. This worsens with the "what the hell" effect. After that first unplanned drink, your brain says, "I've already blown it, so why stop?" Alcohol impairs the judgment needed to resist the next drink while creating tolerance, needing more for the same effect. Your brain recalibrates to alcohol's artificial stimulation, making family time, exercise, and favorite foods less satisfying. The solution isn't strengthening willpower. It's making it unnecessary. You don't need willpower to avoid drinking gasoline. Once you recognize something as harmful rather than beneficial, avoidance becomes natural. Success comes from dismantling subconscious beliefs through education and awareness, not white-knuckling through cravings. Alcohol's physical toll is devastating. It depresses your central nervous system, creating memory blackouts, like forgetting your child's birthday party despite being there. A single heavy session can permanently alter nerve cells and shrink your brain, particularly the cerebellum, coordination, limbic system, emotions, and cerebral cortex, planning and learning. Your heart weakens as alcohol makes muscles sag and contract poorly, disrupting electrical systems and causing irregular beats that risk blood clots. Stress hormones spike blood pressure. Binge drinking increases stroke risk by 39%. Your liver creates toxic byproducts more dangerous than alcohol itself, leading to inflammation, fatty liver, fibrosis, and cirrhosis. Most alarming is cancer risk. Even light drinking increases risk for breast, mouth, throat, liver, and esophageal cancers. Ethanol was declared a carcinogen in 1988, and alcoholic beverages contain at least 15 other carcinogenic compounds. Yet the moderate drinking myth persists, spread through alcohol industry-funded studies. They've spent around $100 million creating misinformation, obscuring one truth. There is no safe level of alcohol consumption. Our evolutionary wiring makes us desperate to fit in. Mirror neurons mimic others' behaviors, and solitary confinement remains the harshest punishment, showing how deeply we fear separation. This creates the belief, if I don't drink, I won't belong. The alcohol industry spends billions reinforcing that cool, successful people drink. But something's shifting. Young people are drinking significantly less. 66% of American adults under 24 say alcohol isn't important to their lives. In the UK, a fifth of adults under 25 don't drink at all. Australian teenage drinking was cut in half by 2016. Meanwhile, drinking among older generations, especially women, is increasing. The industry has targeted mothers with products like mommy juice wine and social media memes normalizing drinking to cope with parenting stress. When you decline drinks, friends may feel implicitly judged or fear losing their drinking companion. Their resistance comes from fear of examining their own relationship with alcohol. We treat alcohol differently than other addictive substances. Heroin addicts are pitied, while alcoholics are viewed as weak. This taboo persists despite alcohol killing more people annually than prescription and illegal drugs combined. The cultural shift happening now challenges this conditioning, creating space to question our relationship with alcohol without shame. Many fear losing their social life without alcohol, but social skills can be learned at any age. Ask questions to create genuine connection. Authentic, sober expression feels uncomfortable initially, but becomes natural. Dating without alcohol, morning coffee dates, classes, volunteering reveals more about potential partners than alcohol-fueled conversations ever could. Alcohol doesn't enhance sex, it diminishes it. It reduces testosterone, causing decreased libido, erectile dysfunction, and inability to orgasm while impairing the brain's ability to sense stimulation. Participants in alcohol-free experiments consistently report better, more satisfying sexual experiences with stronger and more frequent orgasms. Sleep quality improves dramatically without alcohol. While it helps you fall asleep initially, alcohol disrupts your sleep cycle, causing 3 a.m. wake-ups and preventing REM sleep, a phase so crucial that deprivation can be fatal. After 5 to 7 alcohol-free days, sleep improves significantly. Physical appearance transforms too. Alcohol causes weight gain, accelerates aging by destroying collagen, widens blood vessels causing facial redness, and dehydrates skin, hair, and nails. Without it, your body heals, more vibrant, rested, and alive. This isn't about abstinence, it's about freedom. Freedom from the internal war about drinking, from cultural conditioning insisting you need alcohol to relax or have fun, and from operating on autopilot driven by subconscious beliefs and manufactured cravings. This freedom comes through understanding alcohol's actual effects, enabling informed decisions rather than following habits established by decades of marketing. The real revelation? Alcohol doesn't deliver what it promises. The relaxation, confidence, and happiness it seems to provide are illusions that quickly fade, leaving you worse off. Without alcohol dulling your senses, you taste food more vividly, feel emotions more deeply, and form memories more clearly. Whether you choose continued abstinence, mindful moderation, or occasional drinking with clear boundaries, make that choice consciously. This is the ultimate freedom. Not freedom from alcohol, but freedom to choose your relationship with it based on truth rather than myths. The experiment isn't about giving something up. It's about gaining self-respect, vitality, authentic connection, and freedom to fully participate in life. The question isn't whether you can live without alcohol, it's whether you're ready to discover who you become when you do.